food independence.
For Mitt Romney, what say you, America? Yep, 4.5 months from now, we're headed to the polls again. It is all about the electoral vote, though. Keep that in mind. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, that's the vehicle, and we are on the road driving. You want to throw in your 2 cents, you are certainly welcome to participate. And boy, we're going to jump on it right away. So Mitt Romney over the weekend was kind of mum when he was asked about Obama's immigration policy, this new political move that was made heading into the weekend. Part of what the Prez promised when he was running is that he would take action on immigration, meaning illegal immigration. We forgot that little word to put in front of it. So what happened was is that finally he makes good on that promise and halts, at least one aspect of it anyway, halts the deportation of almost 1 million young illegal immigrants. They might get work permits, but they won't get kicked out of the country. It starts in about 60 days, so that's way before the election, right? People under 30 who came into the country illegally, or, yeah, maybe that visa expired when they were under the age of 16, so they're going to be immune from deportation if they haven't committed any kind of a crime and they graduated from high school or they joined the military. That's a layup. So they can apply for a 2-year work permit that's renewable, and then they have to prove they've lived in the country for 5 consecutive years, blah, blah, blah. It goes on from there. Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano was right in the middle of this. She took the lead, telling reporters on Friday that she thought it was the right thing to do, and then they can focus on getting after the criminals. And that it's not any kind of immunity, by the way. It's not amnesty, but it's a way that, how did she put it? We can exercise discretion. It's an exercise of discretion so that these younger people aren't in the, what she called, removal system. So the question is, should they be in the removal system or not? The other part of this is, the Obama people say, I wouldn't say we're encouraging people to step forward. We're making a process available, and people can make their own decisions. Boy, does that sound like doublespeak. We're making a process available, and people can make their own decisions. So Mitt Romney jumped all over this over the weekend. He was on one of the Sunday shows, Face the Nation, with Bob Schieffer. And he said that the timing of the announcement is a little hanky since he's been in the White House for 3.5 years, had the Democrats eating out of his hand in the House and the Senate in the beginning, but he didn't do anything about illegal immigration until, boom, he comes out with this one. And Romney said that it's just a stopgap measure, and why is this the right way to go, said that Obama's order would be irrelevant because there's no long-term solution to this with illegal immigration. Well, the bottom line is it is political maneuvering for sure, but this is a way to try to just make sure that you have the Hispanics, you have the Latinos in the bag, so to speak, and he does. By virtue of the polls, I don't think there's a big danger of that. Florida is a swing state, though, and not all the Hispanics or Latinos, which is now the favorable word, that particular group, there are conservatives. The conservative Cubans would vote Republican anyway, and that state is definitely in play, and this was the idea that maybe this could help a little bit here. Now, the other thing, of course, is you have health care that's hanging in the balance. What's going to happen with Obamacare? That should be handed down pretty soon. Is it going to be unconstitutional? And will states have the right to require people to, you know, get this health insurance or whatever? Or will it stand? And I can't imagine, I can't imagine that at this point it's gonna stand. I think that the ruling will be that it's unconstitutional, but I do not have a crystal ball. I'm not Madam Cleo. And if I could predict such things, I probably wouldn't be on these airwaves. I'd be doing something else, wouldn't I? I'd be predicting everyone's future, and politicians would be coming to me to get that information. One of the things that Romney also attacked with Obama was energy, the energy policies, and, of course, the stimulus.
Politicians in office want to do everything they can just before an election to try and temporarily boost something. But the potential threat down the road of inflation is something which we have to be aware of.
Number one, I'm going to take advantage of our oil and our gas and our coal and our energy resources. I'm going to get that pipeline in here from Canada, even if I have to build it myself.
Ooh, he has the money to build it himself, maybe, or have some of his friends help him. He's talking about, and Romney's right, of course, he's a politician, and that's what politicians do, is you make the promises beforehand, and then if you punch them up right before the election so that you've got all that in the bag to say, okay, I promise this, I promise that. I said we would get rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, so for everybody that's leaning on me in that direction, here's what I've said. I said I supported gay marriage and went out on a limb. Now I'm saying that I don't think... we don't have to have this holding pattern for a certain group of the illegals in this country, so let's do something about that now. And then check off the list for all the different groups that were part of the first process. The bottom line is the electoral voting is key. And I'll say it again, if I'm spitballing this, how much does Mitt Romney need? He needs at least, I think he needs closer to 280. But somewhere in that 270, 290, probably 280, 290. And you have states in play, so that's why this would become huge. Like Florida. Florida's a swing state. Ohio, heavy campaigning in Ohio. That's a big swing state. Who's going to be the VP for Romney? That could make a difference. Biden stays on the undercard for Obama, barring some bizarre change, but I don't think so. It's same team, same place, just going to carry over for Obama. So now this immigration amnesty deal, is it a desperate political move or is it a smart move? Because you've got to be able to say to some of the voters, look what we've done. Because the idea is you won't stay home. They'll go out and vote. That particular voting group, instead of saying, ugh, we're disenfranchised, no. Here's a little piece of the pie. Romney's saying, hey, that's nothing. You need to give them everything. This is not a long-term solution. This is just politics as usual. What do you think? 855-266-KATE. 855-266-KATE. Coming up on the flip side, a couple of things related to Los Angeles and actually a car chase is two very different stories. One, the death now of Rodney King. And the anniversary of O.J. Simpson. Lots of memorable taglines came out of the Simpson trial. And the same thing with Rodney King. Remember, can't we just all get along? Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth slide into a recession or at worst depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishment, and collections. We won't waste your time. Instead, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. And you can become a client right now. We've settled millions of dollars in tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking at your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 1-800-685-9751. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-685-9751. That's 800-685-9751. Again, 800-685-9751.
I don't get this to the police department.
Listen, I think you should tell them yourself.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to have to tell your kids that. Your kids need you.
I've already said goodbye to my kids.
Don't do this.
All I did was love Nicole. All I did was love her.
I understand.
I love everybody. I tried to show everybody my whole life that I love everybody.
We know that. And everybody loves you. Especially your family, your mother, your kids.
Remember that? As we dive back into history, June 17th, 1994, after not turning himself in, O.J. Simpson became the object of a low-speed pursuit, because it went on forever, in that infamous white Ford Bronco SUV. In fact, it interrupted the coverage of the 1994 NBA Finals. Do you remember where you were? That was probably the most publicized, one of the most publicized events in American history. Some people still call it the trial of the century. If you also remember, it ended because there was the deaths of a couple of days before. Nicole Brown, the ex-wife of O.J. Simpson, and her friend Ronald Goldman found dead outside of her condominium. He was charged with their murders. You know, the rest is history. A jury, the verdict of not guilty for the two murders. It was seen on the tube by more than half of the U.S. population at the time. It certainly became one of the most watched events in American television history. Immediate reaction to the verdict. I mean, polls, everything, really came down to racial lines. There was a real division in the polls anyway, that a lot of African Americans felt that justice was served by the not guilty verdict, and a lot of white people didn't think that justice was served at all. And then, of course, there was the famous defense counsel, Johnny Cochran, Robert Kardashian. Now look at his family, his daughters, and Ethel Bailey, part of that so-called dream team. Remember, if it doesn't fit, you must quit. That became a line that you heard constantly. It doesn't fit, you must acquit, and that was Cochran who said that. So O.J. Simpson went on to a whole bunch of things, of course, after that. Now he's in prison for something completely different. And if we, you know, you think of what happened in 2007, a group of guys led by Simpson, went into a room at the Palace Station in Vegas, that hotel casino, and they took sports memorabilia at gunpoint. Then he was questioned by the police. He admitted to taking the stuff, which he said had been stolen from him, but he said he didn't break into the hotel room, and then the rest is history. After that, he was arrested, and he was held without bail, and he was charged with felony counts, criminal conspiracy, all that stuff, and by the end of October, there was plea bargains galore with the other guys, and he was charged. He was held over for trial on 12 counts, and, you know, he pleaded not guilty, and after that, he was, as I said, the rest was history, and he's in jail for probably the rest of his life. He was sentenced to 33 years in prison with the possibility of parole in 2017. Imagine if he gets parole. He's in the Lovelock, interesting name, huh? Lovelock Correctional Center. A lot of people think that O.J. Simpson finally got what he deserved by being caught up in that whole memorabilia nonsense that knocked him back into prison. All right, from O.J. Simpson in the 90s to what happened with Rodney King. And it's in the news because Rodney King, at the age of 47, found dead at the bottom of his swimming pool by his fiance. And he was the key guy behind the L.A. riots. He didn't start the riots, but it was a result of what happened in the trial of the four police officers that beat him. To re-rack it, it happened in 91. There's a videotape that surfaced of the police beating him. When it went to trial and the four officers were acquitted in 92, it set off a massive riot which lasted 3 days. 55 people died, 2,000 people were injured, fires were set off, there was looting all over the place, and at the height of everything that was going on, he was on television saying, can we all get along? And that became a phrase that people used for a long time. He was on parole from a robbery conviction. He was stopped for speeding on a street, and four cops hit him 50 times with their batons, kicked him, shot him with stun guns, all that kind of stuff. And there was a guy who stepped outside of his house to see what was going on. He videotaped most of it, turned a copy over to a TV station, and boy, it was played constantly. And it really fanned the flames of massive racial tensions, especially in Los Angeles, but even across the country, there were a lot of conversations about it. And the police were caught off guard. They didn't expect it, and they were definitely caught off guard when the verdict came in because I don't think they expected what was going to happen. A jury with no black people on the jury, which became part of the story too, acquitted three of the officers on state charges in the beating. A mistrial was declared for the fourth. And L.A., South Los Angeles, just exploded. And then Reginald Denny was the truck driver who happened to always take that route and came through on what he would normally take in Koreatown. And he was pulled out of the cab because he had to stop by several black men from the cab that pulled him from the cab. They beat him almost to death. And that piece of video was shot by a Los Angeles news helicopter, so that was pushed all over the place. He had to have surgery to repair a shattered skull. He had to reset his jaw, put one eye back in its socket. It was that awful what happened to him. And a lot of things happened as a result of that. Now, the four officers who beat King, ultimately, they were indicted in 92, but then you heard what I said. Then afterwards, King was awarded almost $4 million in damages. And, you know, in the decades after that, he was the guy that everybody still talked to. And he was arrested a couple of different times, mostly for alcohol-related kind of things. and he became a record company exec, and he was a reality TV guy, and he went on Celebrity Rehab, I think, at one point. He was on a whole bunch of different shows and whatnot, and he said he was happy afterwards and said that he paid a price, but he stayed alive through it all and even forgave the cops for what happened. But it's one of those images, it's one of those moments in history that, you know, forever is burned on people's brains, especially because of the tape. The tape of that and the tape of Reginald Denny was awful. That was just as bad when that happened, and it was chaotic and crazy in Los Angeles, the looting, the rioting, all that kind of stuff, and that was right before, a couple years before the O.J. Simpson stuff, which then happened as I described with the people watching it on the tube with the finals, and so many people saw that because they were there while it was going on. Hey, coming up this week on America Tonight, you can bet we're going to be talking about the European Union and the euro, once thought to be on the brink of collapse because the nations couldn't agree what they were going to do with the 17 nations, with all the nations defaulting, Greece, Italy, Spain in trouble because of the huge burden of the national debt. The Greeks temporarily get a reprieve since the bailout backers bailing the idea of continuing to march forward, the conservative side get elected, makes a huge difference. If the leftists had got in, they would have booted the Eurozone and everything would have collapsed. Still doesn't mean it won't, but it is definitely a little bit of a temporary reprieve. We'll talk to Saul Album from Norway this coming up this week. Also coming up a little bit later in the week, we've got some really good giveaways. I don't want to spoil it, so I'll just tease you with it. Just tell you it's a contest that's very easy to nail. And don't forget, if you're a weekend warrior and you have a tale to tell us about some of your feats, or one of your feats, and it's good enough, the best one for the month will get a copy of my book, Level the Playing Field. Because after all, when you're a weekend warrior, that's what you're trying to do. The weekly re-rack coming up next. We're going to talk about welfare in a sense. We're also going to talk about the presidency and how it will be remembered through the eyes of David Limbaugh, who has a new book out about Barack Obama. Hang with us.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance, as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You may snicker when you hear this message, but you won't laugh after you experience the best-kept health secret ever, Camel Milk. Camel Milk is loaded with health benefits far superior to other milk. Camel Milk has antibacterial, antiviral, and anti-tumor properties, is rich in B vitamins, and Camel Milk is 3 times higher in vitamin C than cow's milk, and 10 times higher in iron. And Camel Milk contains 52 units of insulin-like proteins per liter, effectively lowering blood sugar levels. Many of our members testified that drinking Camel Milk reversed diabetes and greatly improved autism. Camel Milk is easily digested by those who are lactose and beta casein intolerant, and comes fresh or frozen from your trusted local family farm, shipped on dry ice to preserve freshness. Go to CamelMilkForSale.com now and look under products and pricing for the spring special with free bonus pints. That's CamelMilkForSale.com, CamelMilkForSale.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
The summer specials are on at HHA, Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big at herbalhealer.com. And new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's summer specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, liquid CalMag vitamin D and organic iodine, CoQ10 with Hawthorne, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product Tonicsin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex, all on sale for summer at herbalhealer.com. Also get 10% off on the Herbal Healer Academy Survival Course, information that might save your life. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy at herbalhealer.com.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, and of course the nooks and crannies in between. You're going to love our next guest, David Limbaugh. He's just written a terrific book. He nailed it on the head, people. He did. He nailed that nail on the proverbial head. The book is called The Great Destroyer, Barack Obama's War on the Republic. David, thanks for spending some time with us here on the air.
Hey, thanks very much for having me.
You know, the other day, and I know this is like red meat, you're going to love this, and I know you commented on this, but we talked about this for hours on the show. The comment the other day that the president made about the private sector doing just fine, what was your initial reaction when you heard that?
Well, I would say it was disbelief, except I've come to expect all kinds of incredible statements out of this man's mouth, and I address that very issue in The Great Destroyer, my book. He has destroyed the private sector. He's smothered it. He's sucked the oxygen out of it. He's got his boot on its throat. He's amassed the most regulations of any president in history. He's about to unleash the biggest tax increase in American history. We've got the worst recovery since World War II. He's had the worst period of sustained unemployment also since the Great Depression, and he has no policies that are designed to get us out of this hole. Same thing over and over.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, obviously, the bloated government and the direction that we're headed, and specifically if we drill it down to business, and as you say, and that's the whole idea of the book, what's going on, is it that he doesn't understand how America has thrived and survived, that somehow we've lost our way, or do you believe it's that the pursuit of socialism, or what do you think it is?
Yeah, I think he's an unrepentant, incorrigible leftist ideologue that knows no other way than to expand government. He wants government to redistribute wealth. He doesn't believe in equality of opportunity. He believes in equalizing outcomes. And he believes in massive government spending to jumpstart the economy. In his Osawatomie speech, he revealed his attitude about capitalism, that without the wisdom and money infusions of big government, capitalism, the free market, wouldn't have been able to survive. And he thinks the framers were men of property and wealth and privilege, and that they designed a system that was discriminatory. Of course, they did toward blacks, but we've gone through those pains and hopefully corrected those. through the Civil War. But he's not satisfied. He still thinks America is discriminatory toward the LGBT community, minorities, blacks, Latinos. He thinks the Constitution ought to be used. I mean, the courts ought to be used to redistribute wealth. He doesn't like that they're focused on equal protection and due process. So in his reports to the United Nations Human Rights Commission, he complains about American laws. This to a foreign body of consisting of human rights abusers who can't stand America. So the guy really has a chip on his shoulder about America. He's got a different view of America as an international bully and as a nation that's consumed too much of the world's resources, and he wants to correct the record.
Yeah. How much did you enjoy the fact that the recall election in Wisconsin for the governor of the governor Scott Walker failed miserably? I mean, this is a backfire of epic proportions. Now we're seeing in the polls that Mitt Romney's, I think, a point or two ahead in Wisconsin in front of Obama. I mean, that you have to be pleased by those results.
Yeah, I think it's an indication that even in the blue states, Obama's policies and liberalism is being repudiated. Governor Walker stuck by his guns, stood up for responsible government. Obama threw everything he could at him from his national community organizing standpoint, and he was unsuccessful at unseating Walker, who merely stood for asking the unions, the public sector unions, to pay a little bit, contribute a little bit to their health care and their retirement fund, not an exorbitant amount, not nearly as much as every other employee is paying, and they reacted adversely, and the public said, we've had enough. We want you, we will support you because you said you would balance the budget, and he did balance the budget, brought it into surplus, and he also rejuvenated the economy. That's what Mitt Romney needs to do. He needs to learn a lesson from Scott Walker, the lessons being to stand up to liberalism, draw a sharp contrast between his vision and Obama's record, and take the gloves off, because Obama's already taken the gloves off. If Romney operates fecklessly like John McCain did and says we have nothing to fear from a Barack Obama presidency, well, then he deserves to lose. But we don't, the people. We, the people, don't deserve to have Barack Obama back again. This is bigger than Mitt Romney. He has to stand up for the American idea, which Obama rejects.
Yeah. The you know, talking about the financial crisis, talking about what Romney has to do, going over the so-called financial cliff, which is where we're headed. You mentioned that right at the top. Your take on what's now happened under this president with national defense?
Yeah, well, he's undermining our armed forces. The F-22 Raptor, our premier fighter, he's taken down from 332 to 187 fighters on the rationale that China and Russia were not going to develop their fourth and fifth generation fighters. In fact, they already are developing those. So that was a reckless miscalculation. He's scrapping our missile defense systems. He told Russia he would even do more. He'd have more flexibility to undermine our missile defenses after he was reelected. And he didn't have to account to the, and answer to the people anymore. He's in addition to taking down our missile defenses, he's cut $100 billion out of the budget, and that defense budget, and he hasn't, that doesn't even count the sequester that, as a result of the Budget Control Act, when Congress couldn't get along, couldn't agree on the budget ceiling. And so, across the board, Obama is taking our budget down while China is ramping its own defense budget up to the tune of double digits every year. China has developed and Russia have developed sophisticated SAMs that could take out, basically form an impenetrable missile shield against us. They can take out our aircraft carriers pretty soon. And for the first time, we are in jeopardy of losing our air supremacy. And so one other thing, Obama has thwarted our space defense program. He decommissioned our space station so that by 2020, China may be the only human presence in space. And so we are in a position where while China's not going to attack us tomorrow, the weaker we get and the stronger they get and the less able we are to afford to pay for our own defense, the more likely it is that we will face aggression from China or other countries in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. You saw the other day, too, where our lead general, Joint Chiefs of Staff, talked about the fact that, look, what's going to happen, too, come January, everything kicks in, and we slice and dice. Our presence is not apparent out there. So the almighty, we're the most powerful, the strongest nation on the face of the earth, is that act just isn't going to work. And I think that plays into what you're saying with China. And do you think he's right that that it will be perceived as a lot weaker?
Oh, there's no question about it. And while that goes on, I mean, we are still hated by a lot of people in the world. I know Obama said he was going to reset everything and everybody would start loving us. Well, despite having groveled to Islam, we're less popular in the Muslim world. The country is under Obama, and Obama personally is, according to John Zogby polling. And Zogby is no conservative. And so I think Obama's attitude toward foreign policy is that we've been the lone superpower. We've been a world bully on the international stage. We ought to henceforth operate under a rule of transnationalism where we defer to international bodies and do not throw our weight around and don't even look primarily to our strategic national interests, which is why I think he entered the Libyan conflict. We didn't have a national interest there. There wasn't a particular humanitarian reason to go in there that distinguished it from many other places in the globe. But his real purpose there was to experiment with his new reset button in foreign policy and to show the world that he was willing to defer to international bodies, the Arab League, the United Nations. That's all the Libyan intervention was about, in my view.
Yeah. David, how disastrous would it be for this nation, having said all the things that we just talked about, if this president is elected again?
I mean, beyond comprehension. We've got a 2 to 3 year window, according to Paul Ryan, to restructure our entitlements, to get our discretionary spending under control. Obama has, in his most recent budgetary proposals, has budget deficits projected at $1 trillion a year, and no end in sight. He's refused to come to the table to reform and restructure entitlements. We have $100 trillion in unfunded liabilities growing at a rate of some $10 trillion a year. Obama will not cooperate with Republicans, in fact, he obstructs and demonizes and vilifies Paul Ryan, saying that they want a small America, that they want to take Medicare away. It's all a lie. Ryan preserves Medicare for people 55 years and older and provides other options for people younger, and it brings us into solvency. But the administration, Geithner, Obama, and the rest of them say they don't like his plan, yet they won't propose any plan themselves. They reject their own constituted bipartisan budget commission. They won't propose any real spending cuts. They agreed to some spending cuts, but then Obama already reneged on that promise. The only thing he knows, stimulus, deficit spending in the hundreds of billions, and when it doesn't work, we lose all the jobs. We've lost 4.1 million jobs instead of creating 3.5 like he promised. We've got the highest extended period of unemployment. We've got the worst recovery since World War II, as I said. And yet he knows nothing else but more stimulus junior in the American Jobs Act, $447 billion, high-speed rail, $50 billion. This money doesn't exist. It's monopoly money. And he's taking it from the private sector when he does take it. So he sucks the oxygen out of the private sector. We get no growth, and he wonders why his magic wand doesn't work. It's no wonder people think he's trying to do this on purpose.
Yeah, perfect note to end on. David Limbaugh, terrific stuff. The Great Destroyer, Barack Obama's War in the Republic. Pick it up. Thanks, David.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient nutrient value of fruits and vegetables and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Iodine protection packs from HempUSA.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock, save you money, and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today. HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system. Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Tonight, we've had him on the show a couple times. Really like this guy, Horace Cooper, of the Black Leadership Group Project 21. This time, this is what we're talking about, what's going on in Michigan. We're talking about Michigan's proposal to require drug tests for welfare recipients. Now, there's a lot of people who are upset by this, but there's just as many people who think this is such a win. It's a win for the welfare folks. It's a win for the taxpayers. Horace, I know what you're going to say on this one, but share some thoughts on it. First of all, when you got wind of what was happening in Michigan and the idea they took the vote to require the welfare folks over age 18 to pass a drug test, what was your initial reaction to that?
Well, you know, the first thing that you mentioned and the order that you mentioned, I think, is important. This is a win for the people who are on welfare as well as the taxpayer. Most people look at this issue critically and say that we're only concerned about the taxpayer. Well, first of all, they're legitimate. They're real concerns about the people who struggle hard, who pay their taxes, and are charitable and generous enough to say that we want to offer help to people who are in need. The flip side of that is that we actually want people who are in a dependency state to be able to move to an independent state. And this idea that drug users would somehow be compatible with moving to an independent state is actually laughable. I would say that it was a sign of the compassion and caring on the part of the advocates that they understand that the children that grow up in households where parents are recreational drug users, or that the individuals themselves who are never going to be able to get their act together, become independent, join the taxpayers and be able to decide their own fate if they are trapped in the lifestyle of recreational drug use. This is a really, really big advantage and something to be thrilled about. There are about 28 states in the last legislative cycle that are considering measures like these, and the problem is critics like the ACLU are going to make it harder by threatening lawsuits that are going to cost millions of dollars and create a month of delay.
Yeah, yeah. And so there's some people that will say, well, geez, aren't we stereotyping people? And isn't that, oh, Horace, how can you say that? Because there's so many good people who are just in bad situations. But I think you pointed that out. Well, great. Then everyone will know that they're clean, that it's no problem, and nobody can come back and say, well, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. I mean, really, it is a win-win.
Yeah, you know, one of the biggest problems that we have are that it's very difficult for government to separate the two types of people that are often on the welfare rolls. There are those who have tried and they're struggling and they're really trying to do the best that they can and just are having some bad luck and they really need some help. And then there are those who will not take the steps, will not choose to be independent, will simply wallow in their sense of entitlement. It is difficult to be able to ascertain the difference between those two. What we know is, if you give a person who really is trying, who really wants to, if you give them a trade, a skill, an opportunity, those people will jump at it. But what we also know is, drug abuse prevents people from being able to be clear-headed, prevents people from being able to make the rational decisions that are in their own best interest. The children in those situations, we know, have a higher dropout rate, they have a higher illiteracy rate, they have a higher initiation of sexual activity rate earlier and more frequent. They also have a higher drug use rate, arrest rate. Lots of problems associated with being in a household where this kind of behavior is happening. If you're in a situation where mom or dad or both can't find a job and you're finding income is tight and you add on to that one or two are drug users, that's a recipe for failure for the children involved and for the adults involved. Any rational system that is really trying to say among the things, and of course we don't argue that drug testing is the solution for every problem, but among the techniques that we need to employ to separate out those who really do want to try, who really are wanting to make an effort, that's a good technique. And let's remember, we don't tell people, these programs aren't telling you, oh, you use drugs, get out of here, we're never going to talk to you again. Actually, you are given an opportunity for a taxpayer-funded drug treatment program. But first, we have to identify who those people are. And second, we need to know, are you willing to stop? Are you willing to try? Are you willing to take some help and assistance? In the state of Florida, before the ACLU was able to shut the program down, there were some 70,000 people who said, I don't want to participate in the welfare system at all. I don't want the check. My children don't need the check. I don't need any of the assistance. What that told us was, there was a large number of people who were gaming the system, who were manipulating the system, and weren't actually trying to transfer themselves from a point of dependency to a point of independence.
Yeah, boy, and that's good to know all of that. And as you said, a chance to be able to do that, to get off of the drugs, to get off of the situation, the addiction that they're wallowing in, to be sure. So 28 states will consider this. In Michigan, this would be basically a pilot program. So, of course, naturally the idea is to see what's working, how it works. And that would kick in 2015, if I understand right. Is that right, Horace?
That's correct. Now, the issue that we have and the reason why we're so thrilled about this is we're wanting to let states know it's safe to get out in the water. Come on, the water's nice. This is a useful tool to help, again, separate out the population that really will try to take advantage of any help that society is giving and want to better themselves from those that really don't want to make those kinds of changes. The ACLU, we're We put out a white paper at the National Center making it clear what the state of the law is. We still are tracking the Florida case. We are very confident that Florida ultimately is going to prevail. I'm personally frustrated, I'm sure your listeners are as well, that it's going to cost money, taxpayer dollars, so that the state of Florida can do the very thing that we know the law allows them to do. But unfortunately, one liberal district judge decides on her own that it's okay, Judge Scribner, to stop this, delay it, hold it back, and allow this to ultimately have to be resolved either in an appellate court or potentially have to even go to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, and Michigan has been down this road, too, before you bring up the ACLU. They did have a drug testing program in 99, but it was stopped because of the ACLU, right?
They got a district court judge to do the very same thing, and instead of appealing it, because it was a change in governors and attorney generals, the decision was made not to pursue it. What we do know is that the 1996 Welfare Reform Act explicitly authorizes drug testing for states, and there are a number of precedents by the courts that allow, as long as a threshold is set so that it's not a completely random drug testing regimen, that the courts have upheld those and recognized that those are sensible ways for the taxpayers and the individuals themselves to be protected.
Yeah, do you think if we were to, I love to look in the crystal ball, Horace, if we were to look down the road 10 years from now, do you think that this will pass muster and a lot of this will be implemented?
Oh, I do. I see this as a direction where we're headed. I would say to the president and I would say to the secretary of HHS, President Bill Clinton helped turn around his reelection prospects in 1996 by agreeing to embrace welfare reform. This is wildly popular. It's over 75% of Americans recognize it. The academicians that study this say that these kinds of intervention efforts are far more effective than simply just saying I'm going to hand people a check and hope for the best. And so I see this as the direction that we're going, and I would say right, left, Democrat, Republican, whatever your political affiliation is, if you were to stand up and be the leader in this, you would find a lot of Americans willing to give you accolades because of the leadership role you're showing.
Yeah. I hope you're right. I'd love to see that implemented. It makes so much sense. And I love your example of Bill Clinton. People forget that for sure. Horace Cooper, adjunct fellow with the National Center for Public Policy Research. And he, of course, the author, he mentioned, is drug testing of welfare recipients, saying it sounds sensible and constitutional. That paper was actually released back in November 2011. And this is following, as Horace mentioned, that Florida challenge. Horace, thanks as always for stopping by America Tonight.
Thanks for having me in your program. Always enjoy.